Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you for spending part of your day with me, and welcome back to a very special Woodstock show. For the last hour, we've been talking about the festival that took place in the summer of 69 in Bethel, New York. Now we're going to talk about what happened about 100 miles south at another major festival that same summer, right here in Manhattan, Black Woodstock. 50 years ago, from June to August, the Harlem Cultural Festival featured a lineup of Stevie Wonder, Gladys Knight and the Pips, B.B. King, and Sly and the Family Stone. A total of about 300,000 people attended the concerts, which were held in Marcus Garvey Park. In the years since, the festival has become known as Black Woodstock, a name that reflects the major way it differed from the other Woodstock, both in terms of the artist's features and the folks who attended. This Saturday, there is a 50th anniversary Black Woodstock concert scheduled for Saturday, August 17th. And unlike the other Woodstock 50, this one's happening. Like the original, the anniversary concert will take place at Marcus Garvey Park and features performers like Imar Thomas, Talib Kweli, and Corey Henry. Curator and co-producer Neil Ludewig joins us now, along with two more artists featured at the festival this year. We're very, very happy to welcome trumpet player Keon. Welcome.
Wow.
And co-founder and guitarist of Sly and the Family Stone, Freddie Stone.
Hi.
I always wondered if we were related, the Stewarts. In my head, we are. So, Neil, what are you doing specifically to commemorate the 50th anniversary of Black Woodstock this weekend?
So the actual event started on Wednesday.
Oh, right
so
on.
We had conversations, really taking a deeper dive into the concert, what the themes, some of the people that participated. So actually Freddie came for that. We used actually the Sly and the Family Stone concert as a springboard for a conversation, because that event, actually the police refused to do security and the Black Panthers did it. So we actually had current and former Panthers sitting on a panel with a former NYPD and Manhattan Borough President Brewer. It was pretty amazing. But so we had a conversation at Harlem Stage yesterday. Today we have an opening night at Solomon and Cuff, where a lot of the artists from actually tomorrow's event will be there. Tomorrow we are particularly looking at the artists that have a demonstrated history in activism, right? There were so many different artists that performed, in addition to Sly, Gladys, Nina, B.B. King, Fifth Dimension, Moms Mabley, Jesse Jackson was there, Stevie Wonder. I mean, the list kind of goes on. So when myself and Igmar Thomas, who's the musical director, started really brainstorming how to best address this, we thought, you know, the reason people came together, which is about art, activism, empowerment, we wanted to make sure to recognize and start with the artists that have a demonstrated history in activism, specifically in civil rights. So the artist, Keon, there's Corey Henry, Georgia Ann Muldrow. It's being hosted by Talib Kweli, Alice Smith. The band is incredible. Devon Dixon, Nate Jones, Randy Runyon, George Spanky McCurdy. I think I said Devon Dixon, but it's a lot of people. They're both doing some of their own originals, because they are all, you know, powerhouses and titans. All of their music really speaks to the soul. They are doing messaging. We were talking about that yesterday at Harlem Stage. What is important in their work. So they're doing originals that kind of embody the messages that the original artist had, and paying tribute with some of the original tunes from the artists, from Gladys and Hugh Masekela, Nina and Stevie and Sly. So Keon can probably talk more about what he's going to be doing. So that's kind of the makeup of the concert.
So Freddie, you were at the original Black Woodstock in 69. What was special about it?
Oh, well, what I remember is, the first Woodstock, it was like going visiting. Black Woodstock was like going home. And you were embraced. And that's very special when you have so many people on the same page at the same time, in mind and in thought.
What did you think when you heard about this 50th celebration?
I have to admit, I didn't even know that there was, for a while, I didn't know that there was a Black Woodstock until later on. And when I heard about it, I thought, okay, Makes sense to
I'm
me.
I'm good with that.
It makes sense to me. Sure. No hesitation. Sure. Happy to come. Do anything I can do.
Mm-hmm. It's worth mentioning that the original event was actually called the Harlem Cultural Festival.
Right.
And it was kind of branded by the videographer Hal Tulkin that filmed everything and, you know, kind of captured the footage, which I believe is going to be turned into a documentary. But he kind of rebranded as that Black Woodstock. I was actually speaking with one of the Panthers that was there for the slideshow. And when I originally asked him, he was like, I don't even think we did that. I don't know any Black Woodstock or what you're talking about. And then when he actually started talking to some of the other people, they said, no, that Black Woodstock name didn't exist.
At the time.
At the time. That was called the Harlem Cultural Festival. And it happened over the course of 8 weeks. It started the June 29th and went all the way to the 24th of August. Yeah, that was Cyril Bullwhip. Brother Bullwhip Innes. He was and he's a really great guy, but yeah, he was like, I don't know, that's he's like, you got to call it what it is. And a lot of our partners, Summer Stage and you know, Jazzmobile, they really advocate and say you need to make sure that it's clear that historically is what it's known as.
Yeah.
And this is kind of, you know, we're kind of encompassing both of that.
So Cam, what are you going to do tomorrow? What are you hoping for tomorrow?
Tomorrow I'm hoping to bring good energy and good vibes to this very interestingly charged environment that we live in right now called America. Me as an, to say the least. I mean, you know, ultimately I'm a musician, I'm an artist, and I really take advantage of using my platform to say messages, to give good energy to, you know, the people who can't speak on certain issues. I don't mind putting myself out there and saying what needs to be said. I'm going to be playing a song called MB Lament, which is attributed to the death of Mike Brown, which is, you know, going on, I guess it's 5 years
five
ago,
years,
the anniversary. Yeah. I'm from Ferguson, so that is very important to me. And every time I see my son, I think of what it could be every day. I mean, the things we see on the news are very, very real and, you know, visceral situations that we must address. As an artist, I think it's my job and my duty to do that as much as I possibly can. I mean, I like to play beautiful things sometimes, but life is not all beauty. Life is not all fun and games, and life is not always an adventure for everybody to have a good time. You know, there's real things happening, and as an artist, it's our job to get out there and you know, be on the front line sometimes. Sometimes it's the easiest way to get messages to people who don't think the way you do. Sometimes, you know, it's my joy to do that, you know, to rustle some feathers sometimes.
It's just the arts are powerful in that
100%,
way.
You know.
My guests are Neil Ludewig. Ludwig, I'll get it. Freddie Stone and Keon, we're talking about Black Woodstock, the 50th anniversary, the celebration. Why do you think more people aren't really aware of it, Neil?
Aware of this year's event
the original?
The original. You know, I think there's a combination of factors. You know, I think it had to do with, I mean, really kind of what put, you know, from talking to a lot of people, what put Woodstock on the, you know, on the map and really catapulted a lot of the careers of the artists that partook was that documentary. And this footage hasn't really been released. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not too knowledgeable on, you know, on what it was involved in, kind of the rights and stuff of the footage. I know it's being worked on, but I think that plays a big part in it. I think also, I mean, there were so many things that went into producing the original event, and it was kind of, you know, I think there's a few articles that touched, you know, I'm talking about the original Woodstock event. You know, there's articles that talk about, you know, the unbelievable amount of lucky elements that kind of made it what it is today. And I think there were tons of festivals that went on back then that people don't know about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think, you know, the article in Rolling Stone, I actually met the writer who was really awesome, and he dove into the articles, you know, hundreds and hundreds of articles that kind of covered a lot of the history that he found at the Schomburg Center. And, you know, there were articles there, but it was, you know, it was, you had to look for them. You had to look for it. And I think it's just, you know, a combination of how much money they might have had, what resources were there. You know, I think the audience that was there, you know, you kind of read some of these articles and, you know, they talk, it was difficult, you know, kind of, this is a different audience. They were dealing with a lot of different challenges, so.
Yeah. Who was the audience for the Harlem Cultural Festival?
I mean, I think that's one of the interesting things. You look at some of the photos that have leaked, completely different than Woodstock, you know, upstate. I mean, that was all white people. And this, I mean, it's like Where's Waldo? You're looking for the white person in there. I mean, really, yeah. It was like, I've heard 100,000. The last one was 300,000 people that were there. I mean, every single person, you know, was a person of color. And not only that, it was people that were coming from church. It was families. It was kids. You know, it was those combined with activists and Panthers. It really was a different makeup, you know, of people. So, you know, I think kind of the message, yeah, I don't know. Part of it is also still a mystery. I know the original founder, Tony Lawrence, nobody knows where he is. You know, Tony Lawrence, if you're out there.
Tony Lawrence, if you're listening, anybody
you know, but
knows.
We couldn't find an obituary. We couldn't find, you know, he kind of did some stuff in the 70s and then 80s, and then that's it. Like, couldn't find anyone to contact him. Even some of the people in the community like, I don't know where he went.
It might happen for you.
Yeah.
I'm curious, Freddie, what you think we maybe have lost, and Kayon, you can get in this too, may have lost culturally by not knowing more about Black Woodstock, considering that Woodstock was such like a cultural touchstone. In terms of music, in terms of history, what do you think? What do you think was lost by people not knowing about it?
Well, you know what? I come from a time when, I guess I'm 72 now, and it used to be a lot simpler. Things used to be a lot simpler as far as what's going on, why is it going on, and how to fix it, what's broken, and so on and so forth. And now it seems to be such an art form to talk about the situation without actually naming the situation. And I'm not very good at it. The only thing I can say is that just like there was a time when there weren't phones and videos, you know, and the things were going on then, that's going on now, and we didn't know about it.
Yeah.
And now that the video and the phone and cam and all these things are at our disposal, we can see what's going on. We can find out things that have always been going on. And we're beginning to understand a lot more. And some of us are just, you know, praising God that finally someone is being able to see what we've been saying all along. And when it comes to the Black Woodstock, it's like, well, you know what? How come it hasn't been talked about? Well, why do you think it hasn't been talked about? We can simply give you the answer. The answer's right in front of your face. The writing's on the wall. I mean, you can see it. Everyone knows it, but no one actually talks about it because we seem to be living in this age where you have to talk about it without talking about it. You have to give everything another name. And so, therefore, we have to sit down and have a meeting about it. And so we'll have meeting upon meeting upon meeting upon meeting about the next meeting that we're going to have regarding the next meeting that we're going to talk about this. And then we have the think tanks are trying to figure out, let's see now, how can we get them to talk about this without actually naming this? Mm-hmm. And when you break it all down, anybody that is an everyday person, like my brother wrote, I am everyday people. Everyday people know exactly what's going on. Mm-hmm. They've always known what's going on. You know, it's the idea is that what are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. You know, not keep talking about what's going on. What are we going to do about it? We know something is broken. Let's fix it. You know, and it's not anything new. It's not anything smart or fancy. It's the same thing that's always been wrong. You know, the heart. America used to have a heart. You know, I've even forgotten a quote that they would say when they show the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
You know, bring me.
You're
bring
tired,
me.
You're hungry.
Yeah, and all that, you know. Well, America used to have a heart like that. It's not, no one even remembers the quote anymore.
Yeah. And
because the whole thing has changed. Because, I was just thinking to myself one day, how much money is actually spent to make sure that people don't know what they need to know?
Yeah. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming in to talk to us about Black Woodstock. Have a great weekend. Where can people go if they want more info?
You can go to futurexsounds.com. You can also find everything on the City Parks Foundation website. This is part of Summer Stage. They've got an incredible lineup of programming, super diverse. So yeah, check out both of those, and we'll see you there.
Neil, Freddie, and Keon, thank you so much for coming to All of It.
Pleasure.